The new mayor of Tshwane, Dr. Nasipi Moya, has embarked on a 100-day action plan to save the metro. She's with us now to tell us all about it. Welcome, Dr. Moya.
Thank you so much, Chris. Good morning, and good morning to the listeners at home as well.
Well, you've inherited a Tshwane with debt that stands at almost 11 billion, with almost 7 billion owed to Eskom. How do you intend collecting that outstanding debt? And what progress is being made to bring financial stability to Tshwane?
Firstly, on the issue of the debt. So the debt we're talking about, the 11 billion, it's to the normal creditors. It excludes the one that we owe to the workers. So it's a little more than that. So with Eskom, because what we have decided was we're not going to do this alone. We are a sphere. There are other spheres that are involved in this. And there's a lot of people that are depending on the metro to be successful. This country depends on this capital to work as well. So what we've done was to approach the Minister of Electricity and Energy, Dr. Ramakgopa, and said, is there a way we can talk? We have a court date at the end of the month. It doesn't look good that us as the metro will be with the power utility at court in front of a judge as if we can't talk to each other. So that was one of the first things I did after the election. So Dr. Ramakgopa then said to us, prepare payment plan. So we've been working on that the past 2-3 weeks. That's what we've been focusing on. Our first prize, Chris, is that we must get out of court. We must freeze the interest on arrears. So basically, we've paid over 700 million only on interest on arrears the past 12 months. And yeah, while we have been able to pay every month in terms of the what is owed on the current account, but we are not able to pay within 30 days. So we are saying to the minister, all of these are facts. And we're not going to pretend that this is not a crisis. However, it must stop. How do we stop it? Between the city of Tshwane and between the power utility. So we also applied for the debt, that debt program of Eskom. Ourselves and the Ekurhuleni were rejected. Obviously, we are metros. We are not supposed to be there in the first place. So we were rejected. So we're not even getting assistance from that side. So what we have done now is that we agreed, let's work on getting out of the court process, but let's convince each other. So on, the days are a bit messed up, but we had a meeting with the Gaudeng Eskom a few days ago, where then they said their piece, what they're unhappy about. And let me say this as well. So last year, there was an arrangement between Tshwane Eskom and NERSA was mediating between the two to find solutions. It led up to a payment plan being drafted. And then the power utility changed their minds and said, we're going to court. And I asked them that day, why did you change your mind? It looks like they were not convinced about what we were saying in terms of the conditions, and they were going the hard line. So that's what has been happening in the background. But what we are saying to the minister, if you get us out of court, you freeze the interest on arrears, and then we have a payment plan for the debt itself, which we can all agree on, then we'll be able, what we can commit on as this leadership is to be able to pay the current account going forward. But then that's the proposal on the table. Then the question would be, how can you guarantee that we'll be able to sustain the payment? There's a lot of work that is happening on the revenue collection side, including extra efforts to diversify our rates and taxes pool, like who actually pays, including us responding to the crisis that residents will tell you, you guys want to pay, but you're not billing us on what we've consumed. You estimate. Give me my bill and I'll pay it. So that is one of the things that are on the 100 days program. We then said to the big businesses, most of them, they are owing us millions because we are in dispute. They're not agreeing, again, is the issue of estimates. We said we're going to reduce that so that money can come to us. we then said, when it comes to the debtors book, we have over 23 billion. Not all of that money. After COVID, you're not going to get all of that money. We need to be realistic about what is collectible from that 23 billion without introducing a culture of non-payment that we can't have. We can't afford that. So the debtors book must be cleaned. and that's part of the work that we need to do. And then obviously there are some interventions that are more technical. But I think in the main is for us as the leadership to tell the residents of Tshwane they must pay their bills on time. And for us, we must provide service. But also there are other elements that people may think they are not directly linked to our revenue collection is the issue of outages and water leakages. So those revenue losses, they contribute to us raising funds. So for instance, if an area is out for 8 hours, that's money that's not in our bank account and we're not going to get back. If an area like Atrich, Willowdium, Soshanguves, Hammanskraal, Mamelodi, they do not have water. Do you know what happens? One, they don't pay for the water because it's not in their taps, so we're not billing for that. Secondly, we send water tankers who use our water to go give it for free to the residents. So there are other matters that we are dealing with. There's special intervention on our infrastructure programs, working with Eskom now, because one of the things that we are also putting as part of the proposal to Eskom is the revenue protection program. How will we make sure the issues of prepaid meters, the issues of the projects, the infrastructure upgrades that we need to get on the road? They actually shared with me that there are about 5 projects that are on hold because of this debt. Because they're saying, we can't give you more capacity. How will you pay for it? And it's a genuine question. But what it means for us, if these projects are unlocked, we are able then to supply to the residents and in turn they pay for it. So the point is, Chris, there's a lot that is happening. All we are saying is that we want to collect revenue so that we can service our obligations. But with all of this, we still have an issue of an unfunded budget. With that unfunded budget, it's the fourth year, if I'm not mistaken, that the city has had an unfunded budget. Not ideal at all. Now, what we are saying, we need to now exercise a degree of discipline that will lead us that when we go to the residents in March, we are taking a funded budget. It's a tall order. But if we hadn't said it with our mouth to the residents that this is what we want to do, then we wouldn't sound serious. Because how do you say to residents, we're a new administration, but let's continue with things as they are. So all the efforts that we, everyone now brings to the table is to say, will we have a funded budget next year? Will we be able to pay salaries every month? Will we be able to pay the 13th checks at the end of this year? Will we be able to keep paying rent water so that we have no issues with the rent water supplying us? Are we able to convince Eskom to help us? Because even that 77 million rand just going on interest alone, it makes me breathe twice. Why? Yes. So those are the key. But on the other hand, services must go to the people. We can't wait. So all of this is happening. We say with the projects that are in communities, we must implement those projects. They can't be grants that go back to National Treasury under our watch. I know every mayor will say this, but I think for us, we understand the implications. If we don't do that, the implications are dire for us. You can't return money to National Treasury. Then there are efforts that are going to that the 2.3 billion rand that we have. Let's spend it. Let's intensify our social facilitation, because in many cases, the projects that get stopped, that gets delayed are in the townships. Now we're saying those are 20 residents. Let's go talk to them. Let's eliminate elements of criminality. Let's deal with criminality one side, but let's intensify social facilitation so that we can engage and get communities to own these projects. While we do that, we are saying every day our teams must be in communities. they must work. So we have this weekly program that we have, and we must clean our city. While we do that, we need to also open economic opportunities for this city. One of the ways we're going to get the revenue collection right is if economic growth is happening in our city. And we say, let's diversify economy. We've got titans of industries in our city. It's not every city that can boast about having BMW, Nissan, Ford, and all this. So we've got this industry in our city. How do we keep them here? Because with all these sources of energy, we don't have monopoly on anything. Now, we're talking to the SABs here, and they're saying to us, we're not looking for a lot. Give us water, give us electricity, give us good roads so that our customers can drive these cars, right? It's not that difficult, right? So that is happening, the support that we need to give to the industries that are in the city. Got agricultural industry that is in our city. What are we doing? We've got fresh produce market. How are we facilitating those things? And they sound like they're long-term, but they're actually basic. The city wasn't established yesterday. These things should be institutionalized by now. But not every part of our economy depend on these industries. We then say, with SMMEs, how do we as the city, we do have an obligation towards SMMEs, towards informal traders. How do we then deal with the issue of opening up opportunities with the spaza shops? Where within the legislation of the Republic, how do we make sure that the residents of Tshwane, they can have very safe businesses in the townships that in the form of spaza shops? So all of this is happening, and it's not new. We're not establishing anything new here. We're just focusing the efforts to say, how do we deal with the 34% of unemployment? Because if we have that 34% of unemployment, all it means is that you're increasing the indigent households, and you're not getting rates payers. So how do we? It's also our problem. It's not a national problem. It's a local problem. We live with these people at a local government level. So those are the efforts that we are putting in. But the issue of bylaws, I think for business, they say, listen, in addition to the services you give to us, for instance, the city property in the CBD, how do you expect our clients to feel safe? Make sure there's a TMPD visibility. You clean the CBD. You make sure that the taxis are on one side, we are on the other side. You know, there must be order. And I think even for us who are hosting the world here in the form of embassies, when they come here, I mean, we don't want them to drive in the CBD and feel like, what? No, we want everyone, if they want to walk, they must walk. This is our CBD. So that bylaw enforcement is very important. And also for us, the issue of inner city rejuvenation. I mean, you look at Cape Town CBD, it's refreshing. Who doesn't want that? We want a CBD that's refreshing, but a lot of bad buildings here that we need to deal with and take a decisive step to say, what do you do when you find a person has abandoned the building? By the way, we find these buildings when we do Tshwane Yatima. That's why I was saying the issue of 23 billion rand of debtors book. It's not a reality, because you would go to a Tshwane Yatima, the biggest owing client would be, say, 2.5 million. When you get there, this building has not been, you don't even think the owner has visited the building in 10 years. It looks like that. So those are the buildings that we also need to take care of. And luckily for us, we've got business that are interested. We've got students. So the VCs, which I'm due to meet, they will tell you, please provide accommodation to our students. Give us options on how to accommodate. But one of the things, as the last point here, one of the things that we, on the economic part, economic revitalization, is to revive the discussion about the old industrials. There's no way we can do this and ignore that. You know, I always say to people, it's sad, because you meet anyone from Garankuwa, from Hammanskraal, they will tell you how much they miss the Bophuthatswana government. I'm like, it's a shame. But democratic South African people are missing the apartheid Bophuthatswana, because we have failed as the democratic government to just deal with the power of attorney and the debt that is owed to Eskom, just to find a common ground to say, how do we unlock that opportunity and bring those industries to Tswane? And again, we met with the Chamber of Commerce. They're saying, just tell us when you are done. We're in. Investors want to come to Tswane, but obviously you need to do the work that you need to do. So all of this then, while we have appreciated the media and the platform that the media, gives to us to explain this vision to the residents of Tswane and also South Africa, because people are interested to say, will the capital work? Or should we be worried about the capital? So the media has been very, helpful to us to give us that platform that we reach these households, but we must go to the people. So we must go ourselves, physically have imbizos and tell people who we are, what we're thinking of, what we know already, and they tell us what we don't know. And then we move from there. So that program of imbizos, it starts on this Saturday, and then we're going to roll it out every weekend. Every Friday, we identify a township in addition to the work that we do, a township or a CBD where we go put all our resources, we clean, we enforce bylaws, we maintain whatever needs to be maintained as part of the Riaspana program. So that is the 100 days plan that we have shared with the residents of Tswane.
Dr. Moya, amid these financial constraints, which infrastructure project is at the top of your list?
Hammanskraal Water. That is giving me sleepless nights. So with the Hammanskraal Water, we're not paying for the short-term intervention. Department of Water and Sanitation is paying, and Magaliesu Water is the implementing agent, but we are directly involved because the distribution side is our problem. So the issues of pipe replacement on the distribution side, the water meter and leakages. Because remember, these residents were not paying for this water, so the infrastructure is neglected. So we've been replacing those. We will be able to finish by end of the month. So that's just the part that belongs to Tswane. But initially with Hammanskraal Water, remember we said September. That was the deadline. And then we came to the residents and said, it's now October, after the team encountered a rock. And it's a lot of that, by the way. But they said they did the geo studies, but they did not see these. So as they encounter, they must make plans. So there's a lot of rocks there, but that then delayed. In fact, it didn't even delay. We had to change, because they are four modules, they had to change from starting with the module one, that they started with number four. That's how big the problem is, that they couldn't even deal with it at that level. So that was the first reason of the delay. It wasn't anything that is typical with projects, that it stopped or there was no money or there was no political will. No, it wasn't anything like that. So that was the first delay. Then we went to residents of Hammanskraal. I promise you, in that imbizo, I was very surprised at how understanding they were. So they understood. And then we then received a letter. We were CC'd in a letter where Magalies was reporting to the minister to say, listen, we've had another delay. The main one that blew, that had a blow on the progress was the substation that burned in Ekurhuleni. So while they are doing the civil work in Tswane, the technical work, the building is happening in Ekurhuleni, in a plant in Ekurhuleni. So the burning of that substation then had an effect on a 6-day delay in the work that Magalies must do. So they then said, can we then advise the minister that we don't pressurize the team because we don't want to create problems? Then we asked that the minister can say the project will be finished on the 15th of November. We went there 2 Fridays ago. As the new administration, we met with them. I've worked with them since I've joined the city earlier this year. Explain to us, what does this mean? Because while the minister, is the paying entity, we're the ones who must communicate and make sure there is no confusion at a local level. They explained this to us. And what we said to them was, while you are saying 15th of November, you're quite positive about that. Our ultimate deadline that needs to be communicated is when, if we are launching now, you cut the ribbon, we drink the water ourselves. That's how we want to do it. So if it means let's allow the residents to be unhappy with us for additional 2 weeks, let it be. We will take it. But we cannot say, because it's going to create confusion. You can't then say we are launching today, but the water is not ready to be drunk. We're going to cause a lot of harm. So that's where we are in terms of the or in terms of that project. In terms of what they've given us is that end of the month, because of what we have said, and we said we're going to advise the minister so as well that we don't rush the launch. The launch must go hand in hand with us drinking the water before we allow those residents to do so. So yesterday afternoon, we met with the councillors from Mahamaskral. They are unhappy, but we explained and they understand what this means, that we would rather do it right than to rush it just to appease people, only to put people at harm. So that work is happening, because also I think in our communication is for the residents to understand which areas. You know, we've been saying all of these things, but the moment, say, a house 1 kilometer away from me is drinking water, I may think I'm also okay. So there's a lot of work that is happening and is done by councillors just to make sure that people don't drink water. When that time comes, that the right people drink water and not the wrong people, because we don't want another situation here. So that's the project that is really keeping me up at night. But we, in terms of water generally, Gauteng has said we have a water crisis. Minister yesterday lambasted us and said, listen, that is not drought. You guys are reckless. And the minister, the premier has said to us, do what you can to make this work. Rainwater is part of that conversation. Mahanis is now part of that conversation. The bottom line is that we know that all the municipalities will contribute to water losses. And the leakage is us not maintaining infrastructure. It contributes to that. So the minister was in totally, we have contributed because we've neglected, for whatever reason, we've neglected to make sure that our infrastructure is maintained. Secondly, there's a lot of illegal connections to our infrastructure. So those are the things that we must deal with. The bottom line now is that we're saying there's a water crisis, because when we have in Tshwane, areas like Mamelodi, Soshanguve, Atrich Velodium, Hammansgrand without water. That's a water crisis, Bronco Spirit. That's a water crisis to us, because it won't be a crisis when there's water flowings in the tap. So that's another situation that we are dealing with province as well as Rainwater as one of our, as the supplier, but also with Mahalis in the side of Hammansgrand. And then we cannot, the issue of the power infrastructure, electricity infrastructure, Kwaha must work for us. If Kwaha is out, almost 60% of residents are in the dark. I was baptized with fire when Kwaha was out. Luckily, it was only out for 6 hours. And I'm saying luckily, guardedly here, that we're able to, to respond. But what it means is that we must prioritize. Kwaha must work. Nyala must work. Wildebeest must work. Pyramid must work, because if Pyramid doesn't work, it affects the Royval project, the plant. And in Soshanguve, AI must work. And so all of these infrastructure, we're saying the little that we have in our kitty, it must be diverted to maintain this infrastructure. We will get there. But also in both water and electricity, we're also participating in the National Treasury reforms. So in those national treasury reforms, we're changing the approach to trading services. It's nothing new. I mean, even when national treasury explains to you, we're not changing the world here. It's been done before. We are just giving you options. So in Tshwane, in August, council approved the water turnaround strategy. This Thursday, the passing in October, in the October council, we approved the electricity and energy turnaround strategy. What it means, it basically changes how we approach the silos, and also the fact that, you have this department that must depend on 7 other departments and the head of this department has no control what these other departments has, at the end of the day, does have a ripple effect in the effectiveness of a department. So then as Tswane, we went for the business unit approach, not the entities like Joburg. And we said, let's make that work. And then if there's a need to upgrade to entities, that would be a future discussion to have. That is likely to attract grants, but we still need to confirm with National Treasury if that's the case. But it's likely to attract grants. At least we can know that we can deal with both the water and electricity infrastructure. Then we can talk about the roads and other social infrastructure.
So you would say those are your service delivery goals?
Yes.
Those two, those are your top ones, Dr. Moyo?
Yes. Even on the 100 days plan, we said infrastructure development with a focus on electricity and water infrastructure.
Dr. Moyo, any last words from you of hope for the long-suffering residents of the capital?
I think firstly is to say the residents, I know that it looks bad, especially after the lead up to the motion. It was terrible. The anxiety that we as politicians caused, it's unforgivable. But then after the motion, at least it was an issue of transition and make sure that, you know, services continue. But I think the images coming out of council on Thursday, they don't look good for us. Because we've said we will give you stability. The next thing, our colleagues, they appear to have been drained out of council, and residents are asking, is this your idea of stability? But I think what is important for me is to say, we will work this out. We've got our own issues inside the council chambers, but those issues cannot translate into lack of service delivery. Services will come to them. We'll do the best that we can to make sure that we continue to serve the residents of Tswane. That I'm not saying they must ignore what happens in council, but we will sort it out. We are all leaders in council. We are all representing the residents of Tswane. So we will find each other and act that way. But for the residents, they have our commitment in terms of the services coming to them. And us trying to find solutions, you will see us all over the place. For me, I'm not even ashamed of begging. Like, MEC, can I have just 5 minutes of your time? And then I go there. Because we need to find creative solutions on how we serve the residents. And that, from my side, that will happen. But we'll talk to the residents of Tswane. We're not going to tweet them. We'll talk to them. We'll meet with leaders of society in Tswane. We've started, we've met with business, we've met with labor, we've met, with the taxi industry. So we're going to meet with the leaders of society in Tswane. So it's not that this government is close to the people. And one of the things that I've been getting from, I don't know how to describe, it's been residents that I've dealt with before, even when I was a chief of staff. And say, yeah, does this mean you're only going to serve the townships? I'm like, no, that's not what I said. I said equitable services, the service delivery in the city. That's what I said. I didn't say I'm going to only serve the townships. And I think what is important, though, is just to understand our vision and where these stakeholders fit into that vision. And also for them to tell us their vision. And for instance, the issue of the AfriForum MOU. Why should we single out AfriForum? We don't want to work with you. They're equally residents of the city. But we're going to engage with them. We've reached out. I've reached out and said, listen, can we talk? Discomforts here and there, can we talk about them and not tweet each other? Sometimes we think tweeting is communication. But no, let's meet. Let's talk about what the discomforts, what is it that we would like to see happen? What is it that you want to see happen? And then we take from there. So from my side, personally, I'm not here to divide the city. I'm here to unite the city. And that's my commitment. So the work will continue. We will have challenges, but it's how we respond to those challenges that I think will count for residents to forgive us for our mistakes.
Thank you. That was the new mayor of Tswane, Dr. Moyo, speaking to BizNews. And I'm Christine. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me.